The mission of the mission. Living with Shiva, 331. A legacy of devas from the entire parampara accompanies our monastic order, providing silent, unseen inner guidance and protection for old and young alike. As long as at least one person within the entire group of Madhavasis is going into and coming out of Parshiva once a day, the doorway to the third world remains open to the hereditary entourage of devanic forces that has been building up for over 2,000 years. Well, that's a very precise request. Maybe we should have a checkoff list. Make sure someone does that every day. This is because the Brahma Randra, the door of Brahman at the top of the head, remains open when Parashiva is daily experienced within a Matavasi community. It could be within the oldest monk or within the youngest. This great realization occurring time and time again within someone day after day keeps the door of Brahm open for the entire Prana Chakravala of monastics, keeping vibrantly strong the inner actinic connection with all gurus of our parampara, as well as with other sadhus, rishis, and saints who have reached these same attainments, and with the sapta rishis themselves who guide our order from deep within the inner locus. So there's quite an entourage on the inside there. Quite a list. It's all hooked up inwardly, and the point is the inner hookup could be lost if the monastics stop meditating and going deeply within. It's maintained by that, piercing into the third world and into Parashiva beyond the third world. My Saiva Swamis or Nadi Swamis are distinguished by their orange robes, gold Nadi earrings, and three strands of Rudraksha beads. They are the Saiva Siddhanta Yoga order known as the Saiva Swami Sangam when they gather in ecclesiastical conclave. Sangam does not follow the protocol of unanimous decision, rather it works in intuitive one-mindedness to carry out instructions from the Kailasa Pedam, a spiritual seat of authority, to better the Saivite mission and the individuals dedicated to its success. These sannyasins are not looked upon as individuals so much as an integrated council, assembled and working in unison to perform a holy work as Siva Nadiyars, servants of God Shiva, guided by the Satguru, the Saiva Swami Sangam, forms the ecclesiastical body of our Hindu church, which works in a humble way to protect the purity of the faith among all Hindu sects, through inspiring publications and other means of encouragement. Specifically, our order's mission is to protect, preserve, and promote the Saivite Hindu religion, as embodied in the Tamil culture, traditions, and scriptures of South India and Sri Lanka. I have a point to make. Our dual mission is stated here. Protect the purity of the faith among all Hindu sects through inspiring publications and other means of encouragement. And protect, preserve, and promote Saivite Hindu religion. So we have a dual mission, which is unusual. Normally, when you think of Hindu groups, they have a one mission. They're promoting their own teachings. That's it. They're promoting their own teachings. Well, we're doing that. That's Saivite Hindu religion. But we're also asked to protect the purity of the faith among all Hindu sects through inspiring publications and other means of encouragement. So that's an unusual aspect. To have two missions and to have one being to support everybody. How do you support everybody? By finding points of agreement. It's right in the, one of the sutras. One of the Nadinada sutras talks about that. When interacting with Hindus of other traditions, always find the points of agreement. So we interact with the BAPS Swaminarayan group and we find the points of agreement. They stated it quite nicely when they were here last. He said, what we have in common is bhakti, devotion. That's what one of the sadhus said, which is true. The other point would be a living guru, tradition of a living guru, which he left out. But I think that's equally as important. Those are two points we have in common. It was very interesting when we were in Southern California, they were opening their center at Chino Hills, Southern California. So we were there for a couple of days and gave my talk on the importance of temples and bhakti yoga and all, because that was the topic they asked for. So, and then we went over and had a satsang at the Vishwanathan's house, and the head of the Chinmaya Mission of San Diego was there. The talk happened to be more on Advaita, which is something we don't have in common with Swaminarayan, because they're not Advaitists. So we were talking Advaita and other things with that group. Though the point being, we found something we had in common with both groups. Though the groups have nothing in common themselves, we have something in common with both groups because we're monistic theists. So therefore, and I made a joke about that. I said, wouldn't it be great if, you know, all the bhakti at the temple and all the monism from that, and it all was wrapped together in one place, but usually doesn't happen. Of course, the main vehicle for this point of promoting all Hindu sects is Hinduism today. That's one of the reasons Gurudeva created it. It's right there in the, what's it called, the list of objectives, is that it? The list of objectives on the page to promote Hindu solidarity as one of the key objectives of Hinduism today. And it does a good job at it, I'd say. It really is respected among Hindu leaders for doing just that, really promoting the key Hindu groups in a positive way and that no one else does. So it provides useful service in that way. Our monastic order follows the cenobitic. In case anyone doesn't know, cenobitic means living together. Cenobitic. Monks that live together. Cenobitic. Versus, what do we call it? Anchorite? The other one? Anchorite tradition, living alone. Our monastic order follows the cenobitic pattern in which monastics live in community and work together toward common objectives. Sannyasins of this order are not wandering sadhus or silent contemplatives, known as anchorites. Rather, they are members of a brotherhood working closely and industriously with their satguru and with their brother monastics. At the time of sannyas diksha, each has accepted the mission of the Kailasa Parampara as his own, to protect and perpetuate Saivism, to serve Hindus the world over, to provide, teach, and disseminate scripture, religious literature, and practical instruction, to promote temple construction, and to exemplify the dignity and enlightenment of our Nandinatha Sampradaya. Living under lifetime vows of renunciation, humility, purity, confidence, and obedience, these sannyasins are bound to fulfill their unique role in the Saivite culture of religious exemplars and staunch defenders of the faith. Their ideal is to balance outward service, sivathondu, and inward contemplation, realization, sivayana, for a rich, fulfilling, and useful life. So the cenobitic is an important part of the pattern Gurudeva gave us, and it's different than, say, the Chinmaya Mission pattern or the Vedanta Society pattern, which are common. And you have one monk all by himself out there being the teacher, one monk all by himself. So Gurudeva did not want us following that pattern of just sending out one monk. Prefers the monastery system, and a monastery is supposed to have three or more people in it. If you wanted to start a new monastery, the pattern that's written down somewhere is you have to have three to start a new monastery. Though we're not planning to start any new monasteries today, just in case someone was wondering. Though we don't go out by ourselves and just be a monastery of one and teach as Chinmaya Mission does and as Vedanta Society does that. So they start with one and then they try and build up with other brahmacharis, and then eventually the brahmacharis can become swamis. But often there's just one monk all by himself. So we teach, but a lot of it is through our publications, because obviously we're here. So the teachings are going out through our publications, both printed and on the web, in an effective way. Well, here's a nice sutra which relates. Shiva's monastic support sadhus, yogis, swamis, and gurus of other orders, male or female, even if their beliefs differ, as long as they promote the Vedas, the Hindu religion, and the renunciate ideals of monasticism. So that shows the type of groups that we favor are the traditional ones. We're not trying to support New Age movements that are kind of Hindu-based, nor movements that don't relate to the Vedas. There's one more sentence here in the next one. How the one becomes many is a emerging with Shiva one, but I thought I'd just read the last paragraph without getting into the how the one becomes many. Totally different subject. Each god has a vehicle through which he is represented. Ganesha the mouse, Muruga the peacock, and Shiva rides in man. The origin of man being spawned from Shiva, the birthless, deathless god, therefore is as a pure, taintless soul. After thus being spawned, the soul goes through a maturing process. This slow growth is in three basic categories: karma exercises, anava clouds, and maya distorts. This classroom of these experiences finally matures an intelligence free enough from the bondage of the classroom of anava, karma, and maya to realize its own divinity and at one-ment with Shiva as a taintless pure soul. This then is the foundation, after once attained, for final liberation, self-realization, to be sought for. What stood out to me is the classroom of these experiences finally matures an intelligence, free enough from the bondage of the classroom of anava, karma, and maya to realize its own divinity. Well, that's an important theme in Gurudeva's teachings. He doesn't go around saying the world is unreal, the world is unreal, the world is unreal, give up desire, give up... You know, he's not talking like that. He's saying, fulfill your dharma. Do it to the best of your ability and then a little better. You know, he's challenging us to engage in the world or in whatever dharmic situation we find ourselves, and to do it well. And why? Because thereby we mature an intelligence. By facing the challenges, the responsibilities, handling them well, we mature an intelligence. Well, it's an engagement. The process only happens through positive engagement. And sometimes those who are, as it explains in the introduction to the Master Course Trilogy, those who are recently inspired to be spiritual feel the world's a bad place. It's evil. We should withdraw from it. But Gurudeva is the opposite. No, you don't want to withdraw from it. You want to engage in it even more dynamically than before and do a better job at what you're supposed to be doing than you were before. You want to engage more fully and challenge yourself. Why? Because it's the process that matures an intelligence that eventually realizes its own divinity. Oh, it's a very nice phrase there in today's Merging with Shiva lesson. Take a look at it. Wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.